If I can make an announcement.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Get him to show up.
Six people in the castle.
So tell Ian his PMs are going live to Dragon Camp convention.
Yes.
Some look pretty.
Counting?
Yes.
Okay. All right, while we wait for the online part of this to get started, I might as well introduce myself. My name is Sam Aldersitz. I'm known as Sam A on New Bremen, a Java chat oriented, pretty much it's a mush. No other way to describe it. It's a little different than most mushes. Most mushes have a fairly small player base, normally around 50 to 100, maybe a little more. But we have a player base of over 1,500 people, with a character base that fluctuates between 4 and 6,000 characters at any given time. 5,000 right now? Is that what you're saying?
At least.
At least? Yeah, I said it fluctuates. All right?
But it hasn't been lower than 5,000 for a big time.
Oh, really? Okay. So 5,000 sanctioned characters for around 1,500 to maybe 2,000 people. That's pretty different. Most mushes, they only get around, what, maybe 100 players at the most. But let's see if we can get online here. What?
Does this mean we can ask fanboy questions?
No. We're not on as a storyteller login. On a dial-up, you know how long that's going to take? Do you know how long that's going to take on a dial-up there, Conrad?
A long time.
Yeah.
An hour?
Exactly. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what makes this chat work, what it makes it not work, how we can all improve this chat in general. So I guess we'll start. I have questions. Who here has not played in New Bremen? Shut up. Okay, just a few. Put your hands down, jerks. All right, you haven't played in New Bremen. Have you played in other online role-playing games? You haven't? You have? Okay. What sort of online role-playing games have you played in?
Mostly MUDs or... MUDs.
Which one?
Dozens of them. I didn't
know. Now, MUDs are automated, right? Like, combat's automated and everything?
All right. Like we do to Conrad. Anyway. All right. As a little introduction, as you can see on the screen, this is the interface that we use. That's probably a lot different from the MUDs that you've ever been on. Which are mostly probably black screen and you just type on there. What we have on here is we have, everybody has their login name and the symbol for whatever game they're playing.
Dead shrimp.
Yes, the dead shrimp of the world of darkness. All right, so now the rest of you who are not moderators on this thing at first, who have played, you're an admin, shut up, who have played on this chat, do any of you have any comments about how you think it's working so far?
Pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I've played on about 8-9 years of online gaming. This is probably the best interface.
Why? I'm serious. Like, I want to know what you think. I mean, as somebody who actually occasionally gets people who write me emails who says, your chat sucks, such and such is better. Like, why do you think it's actually good? And I'm not being funny. Like,
Because player characters have the ability to interact more with each other than on, say, a mud. You get more done than on a lot of mushes, combined with the fact that as a PC, you do have the ability to achieve positions of power and, in fact, change the setting if you work hard enough.
Well, you'll be closer to a microphone. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Conrad Hubbard.
This is the official drunken monkey.
Conrad Hubbard is the web administrator for White Wolf, who's largely in charge of maintenance for this but, chat and all of the associated software and databases.
Or Smiley in charge.
Okay, anyone else in here who's played on New Bremen?
You know that's not vodka.
Okay, what? You guys back here.
This is not vodka? What's wrong here?
Okay.
There was always a lack of direction. You know, you interact with all these characters and everybody's just kind of like, what's going on? What's happening? And there was just never any direction to it.
Yeah, that was always the problem. It was like, but that was always in the beginning, too. I mean, it seems like things have gotten more organized, but some of the game, they seem to fluctuate. Some games fall apart, some, you know.
Okay, so perhaps a better cohesion is what you'd be looking for?
You know, all the storyline was whatever one PC wanted to do with another PC, and there was no, you know, group of players going for one goal.
Yeah,
that always couturiers and stuff like that. And in this game, there's none of that. You know, everybody's kind of like, I'm off to myself, and I really don't care what everybody else thinks.
That's the nature of online role playing. A lot of it is going to be player driven plot lines rather than storytellers handing to you on a plate.
Up with a storyline. That's the thing that I've always said. I mean, I've never seen it.
Okay, that's something I am going to bring up in here is player-driven storylines and how actually we as moderators on New Bremen prefer that players do drive their own stories. They do make their own stories and they get other people involved in them and work with them. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. Now we have some moderators who have some comments here.
Well, I just have to say the purpose of the New Bremen chats is to allow players to push forward their own storylines. STs are there to help assist in pushing forward those storylines and to moderate any disputes between the players.
And we're also there to sanction the new characters and such.
I have one really brutal comment that there's, you know, the fact of the matter is New Bremen is actually there as a big, giant advertisement for the company. I mean, we're not going to pull any punches. Like, the idea, hopefully, is that people playing the game will buy the books.
Well, that would pretty much...
Now, hopefully everybody will have fun while they're doing so, but I'm not going to lie to you. The point is, you know, we're hoping that you will be there because it's free.
It's a marketing tool.
It's free. It's a marketing tool.
Okay, it is. It's one giant marketing tool to hope that...
And we're usually honest enough to say, hey, this is a marketing tool.
We very bluntly say it. But, well, let's say with you, for instance, perhaps you like to play, we'll say, Vampire. Okay? And maybe you've never played another game that White Wolf has ever put out. Perhaps by being on the chat and seeing the other people playing werewolves or changelings or something else might interest you in going out and purchasing those games. And in effect, increases White Wolf sales, which will keep the company going, which means you can continue to chat on the chat. Think of it that way. Every book that everyone buys helps keep the chat up.
All right. Cal said it really well when he said that it was mostly a player-driven thing. But from my experiences, I've done storylines from a storyteller perspective. And oftentimes, there's a lack of interest from the players from doing anything like that. So if the players aren't interested in doing a storyline that a storyteller is working on and driving, then, you know, after a while, the storytellers are just going to be like, all right, do it yourself.
Ah.
Unmod is an entirely different beast. Unmod is a place where I've logged in and seen a guy with 9 in every attribute.
every skill. And his description says, I'm here to rape you.
And that's true. I mean, unmod's not the best.
And you're male, even, and I'm male, too.
Even in mod, they have the similar problem, though. I mean, mod, you know, they've got more handle on it, but even there, the players seem to just be kind of like...
It sounds to me, then, like the real question is, if there doesn't seem to be a lot going on for players to do, what draws this huge player base? What makes this game continue to be successful and makes people continue to be involved in it?
That's a good question. I think for this one, we're going to go to the chat.
Okay.
Let's just post a general question of what do you think makes this chat successful? Yeah, what makes you keep coming back to this chat?
Just note that we have no clue what kind of answer we're going to hear. Some guy who's not happy could be answering.
There could be many profanities that show up on
here
as well.
Or Lenny might never finish typing.
So we'll ask the people who are currently on the chat, and I would like to thank the electronic... where did everyone go? But the EFF for having this screen and having it all set up. Oh, okay, hold on.
I think Annabelle actually right there is saying, and I mean, that is, I think the number one thing that draws other people is the people who are there besides us, not us storytellers, but like the other players. I mean, Annabelle's like, the people are great. I think that you don't have to agree with that, but I think that's what draws people is that the other people there. There's anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000, maybe 2,500, you know, somewhere in that zone, 1,500 to 2,500 people. You can log on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime. On Christmas Day, in fact, according to Brian Boyko,
cheap shot.
There's going to be somebody there. You can play anytime.
Okay. Lenny, scroll up a second. And someone did have a question
on
there.
Yeah, actually, on Christmas, we had more people than normal, which means there must be a lot of Christmas people who weren't getting any normal presents.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Ian.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing that really drives it, I think, is that there's always some social interaction. You have no idea who these people are. You know, they have no preconceptions about you. You have no preconceptions about them. It's just whoever who they are. You know, it's the character. It's ideal role playing.
I actually agree with you on that. It's like it's a matter of the fact that online role playing is the ultimate expression of lack of prejudice. I mean, certainly you have prejudice in the sense that if you know somebody's character, you're going to judge them on that reputation. But you have no idea what color they are, what sex they are. You have no clue.
I think you can say the online role-playing goes beyond that. To the point where it doesn't matter. One of the facets of online role-playing is you're having a conversation with the mind, if you will, rather than what the person looks like. So you look beyond that, and you actually make friends with who the person is rather than the persona they portray in public. People are often more honest online. I mean, I've traveled, 30,000 kilometers, and I'm crashing with friends who I've met through this.
You know, and that's something else that has happened. We've heard of other people who have made friends with the players online and end up go out and visiting them and having a lot of fun and, you know, playing their own tabletops. These two guys apparently, you know, whatever.
You hear this gentleman's accent, correct? Where are you from?
Yeah, he's British.
Australia.
This gentleman came in all the way from Australia, pretty much...
And you never would have come to Dragon Con if
we
it wasn't
are connecting
for something
people
like
from around
this,
the world.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I mainly came to catch up with friends like Chris and Charlie and Nikki and everyone.
All right, getting back on to some of the topic here. What can we all do that can really make this forum, but not only just this forum, but other online role-playing games in general, work to everyone's mutual benefit? That means moderators, players, administrators, you know, whoever's hosting the server, whatever. All right? Ben?
Yeah. Well, I think most of the time the players really need to work with the storytellers, be willing to run their own storylines and, you know, get out there and, you know, try to do some stuff together, not just be, you know, wanting, it's like, all right, you're a storyteller here, run this for me. You know, give me something to do, because there's so many opportunities on New Bremen just to run your own storyline for just, you know, a couple of weeks, a month, and, you know, really develop a lasting presence, lasting change on even New Bremen, and, you know, just being able to willing to work between your, the different players and with the storytellers will make it move so much easier instead of, you know, arguments between them.
Okay, John?
And players and storytellers alike should all take a responsibility to try and make newbies and the people who are trying to get into the games more welcome, and to tell people who are new to the venue and the people who are new to the style of role play that the chat is, because it's an entirely different kettle of fish than you'd get from tabletop. And there's a lot of changes that have to be made in the way that you role play, in the way that you do. You have to take into accommodation stuff like, you know, time zones. Like, I wouldn't be able to play with him, like, at all, because he lives in Australia, and even though I keep odd hours, I mean, I'm Eastern time. Well, yeah, but ideally, like, I'm looking at this from that way. There's a lot of little things that newbies don't know, and that it's responsibility of the people who have been around for a while, whether they be players, whether they be storytellers, whether they be assistants, to not necessarily be, you know, all huggy, friendly, nicey, making friends with them, but at least to help them out and not make them feel like they're out of character separate from the group, even though there might be in-character tensions and arguments and stuff like that, to keep the out-of-character stuff on the up and up, to keep it polite, to keep it discreet, and to keep it mature.
In other words, not to alienate newer players just because they don't know anything. I'm looking at this comment right here by a character named Friedrich Hein. And this comment is, like I said before, it's a place where you can play at any time, even if your gaming friends are working or otherwise unavailable. And it largely keeps the feel of the World of Darkness intact, which is no easy task considering all the different games that are going on at the same time.
I think the comment above it is important, too. And that is, when we opened this particular chat, literally my boss put a phrase in it that was like, this is one giant experiment. And it's kind of gone beyond that. I mean, we don't feel like it's an experiment anymore. But, like, when we opened it up, we had no idea. And we basically brought on, like, 30, originally about 30 storytellers. And, well, 15 originally, okay. But anyway, we brought
the
on,
rest of us showed up
we brought on
later.
Like, another 15 in about a week, because the fact is that the original 15 of us plus myself, have you ever spent 12 hours sanctioning characters?
Oh, yes.
12 in one day straight, one after another.
Conrad,
another.
I did that for 2 months
Hello.
Straight.
We had no idea if it was going to work. We had no idea how many people we were going to get. It's like a support group here. But, I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. Like, the HTML chats are entirely self-run. People have their own communities. They figure out their own stuff. There's no moderation whatsoever. If some guy comes on and says he's Jesus Christ and, like, starts cursing at you and calling you a F-head and so forth, you know, you just have to deal with it or log off. Here we had storytellers who were going to, if you did that, they were going to kick you off. And if you came on and your character had all nines, they were going to tell you to get lost. And I think that the fact that it is now literally our most popular chat shows that despite the numerous complaints I get in my email box every day, even the people who are complaining continue to log on. They might want it to be better, but it's the best they can find.
Question from the chat. What's the other chat?
Okay. I have a question for you, Conrad, real fast. How many people did you actually think would get on this when you guys first started it?
The HTML chats generally already ran anywhere from like 90 to maybe 120 people like logged on simultaneously at concurrently. And so we figured, well, we'll get about that level of people. But the problem with HTML is it never measured in any way, shape, or form like the actual number of people like consistently that were logging on. And we have various email lists that give us estimations. When we say 1,500 to 2,500, it's because we have one email list that has 1,500 people on it, and we know not everybody's on it. I mean, my best friend plays in the chat, and he's not on the email list, just because he doesn't want a buttload of email from the email list. You know, but on the same token, you know, there's no reason to sign up multiple times because you're getting multiple emails from the same list. And we had no idea. We really had no idea. It really was a big experiment initially. We thought if we do this for a month and it like flops and nothing happens, then We'll figure out something else to do with the software.
But instead, now, New Bremen is formed. Dark Ages Bremen is opening up soon. Exalted, I think, just opened up, correct?
Yeah, Exalted opened about 3 weeks ago. For those of you who are checking out, it's called Jade is the name of the setting. A lot of people are calling it Jade City, whatever sets it apart in their mind. Fangsfall, which is a sort of D&D-oriented...
it's D20 compatible. Head. It's the sword and sorcery version, yeah.
I think Fangsfall represents a big indication, though, of the difference between player-driven plot lines and storyteller-driven plot lines, though. People who play D&D apparently are so set in their mind on having storyteller-slash-dungeon-master-driven plot lines that... despite the fact that the Scarlands chat has literally about 1/8, I mean, maybe even less than 1/8 the number of players, it has about one-third to 1/2 the number of storytellers, and they can't keep up because players are so demanding there. They want, like, a dungeon master saying, this is what happens, blah, 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 this is what happens, blah, 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 you know, and if New Bremen was like that, we would just be sunk. I mean,
Ian's question,
D&D, too. The D&D chat is very much more storyteller-intensive per player.
Okay. Our head storyteller, as a matter of fact, is asking a question on the chat. He'd like to ask what the general opinion of role-playing online is, and perhaps by extension the thought of the moderators. Now, some of you have played other mushes or muxes or whatever you want to call them before New Bremen, correct? Okay.
How many people here actually have played in New Bremen, just out of curiosity? Like played, not...
Wow. A good portion of our room, yeah.
Okay.
What is your thoughts on the way the online gaming is working? And then I'll ask some of the other moderators who are here. But what are your thoughts on the way that online gaming is moving and progressing?
I think you find that New Bremen is very, very much the first of its kind. I mean, up until that, you had various game companies had their own chat sites. There were muds, mushes, mucks, moos, and so on floating around. But the sheer scale of it has actually changed the way a lot of people are looking at online gaming. And that in itself is having an impact on the industry.
So the scale of New Bremen having at least 1,500 players, that sort of thing, as opposed to...
When you can log on and see a couple of hundred people, you know, just your list of people on is just huge, and your screen is scrolling so fast you can barely keep up sometimes, and that's in just a small room. It's phenomenal.
That's good. You role-play in other MUDs. What sort of feeling do you have about the way online gaming has gone in the past couple of years?
Oh, well, MUDs have essentially stayed pretty much the same since... You know, since they came out, whatever that was. So,
well, let me ask: do you think they're becoming more popular now, or do you think that maybe the classic MUD is gone and people are looking for new things, or if the MUDs can evolve or whatever?
I think the hardcore gamers are looking for more of an original experience. I think the internet has become a lot more popular, so of course, you know, the gaming aspect of the internet has also become a lot larger. But MUD, really what I've seen is MUDs kind of open the door a lot of times for role players. Like, they're thinking they're playing a video game, and then one day they realize they're role playing, so they're more open to trying actual role playing. So,
I really think that's a good point. I mean, seriously, I think MUDs originally people thought they were playing a video game, and now they're role playing.
Well, we've moved from MUDs, which were, you know, automated. You come in, you fight, you kill the monster, you gain experience, you get the treasure, you have the better items, and then...
I thought that was your game.
No, not my game. And then you move up from there to role-playing. And then the thing about New Bremen is it takes so little actual software to get on New Bremen. I mean, my friend gets on from an IBM 386 with, like, 16 megs of RAM. I mean, that's all. It's a computer he put together that cost him $25 to
Can
build.
I quote that to the next person that bitches at me because they can't get on?
And it's a matter of it's not very hard to get on. And unlike things like EverQuest, which, you know, it's an online role play, yes, it's graphic interface. Some people can't handle the 3D, it makes them ill. Some people they can't handle the software or the hardware requirements for it. And New Bremen is something where you come in and you can play, and like I said, you know, like we said, there's people on all the time, but it's a matter of it's a big, huge, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It's not quite a LARP, but it's not quite a
mod. There's
now,
yeah, Angel brought up a very good point that it has many tabletop rules with a more live action role playing feel.
On the subject of EverQuest, I played MUDs and MUSHs for a very long time. They're very boring. They're very text-based, very command-based. They're kind of bleh. And then you get into things like EverQuest. While graphically very amazing and some of the stuff they're coming out now with, like Anarchy Online, very stunning, it's still just a program. You're interacting with people, but there's no real role-playing. We go out, we kill it, we get money, we get neat stuff. What New Bremen allows you to do is you expand on the world, your character suffers real consequences if they screw up. I mean, if you shoot a guy, the police are going to come after you. And there's a moderator there to tell you, look, this is going to happen. You know, they keep things in check. They keep things realistic within a supernatural-style setting.
Well, that's something else. It's like that's a big difference between the way New Bremen is set up and the way that other MUDs are set up. New Bremen is not automated, okay? New Bremen, you know, yes, there's combat, but it's not, you know, the computer pops up and says 15 orcs run at you. It's other player characters 9 out of 10 times that you end up fighting. And the way we do it is we have a dice roller set up that just randomly does, you know, 1 through 10 for however many dice you're doing. It puts your name, it puts your action, and the moderators can actually watch that for abuse, and we can track IP addresses through that. So if someone just keeps putting, like, F you, or...
That
you
never
know,
happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never.
Okay. But we can track that. We have the ability as moderators to check each and every person's IP address while they are online. Their character sheet tells us their last IP address that they logged in from. So if they prove to be a problem to other players in the out-of-character sense, they're constantly harassing, they're constantly, you know, calling them dickheads or whatever, you know, just doing stuff that makes people generally upset on a large basis, we can actually ban that IP address from coming back into the chat, or more importantly, Conrad can ban that IP address. But that's not something I think a lot of other MUDs or MUSHs have to worry about as much, because their log files pretty much are done every couple seconds, if I'm right. I've never really did anything online before.
I don't think most MUDs actually, or in MUSHs, have to worry about the level of traffic. Literally, when I have actually run log files, I, per night, in just a, you know, 8-9 hour period, you know, I can easily run a log file of at least 10 megs, and that's just one log file. And if I did that every day, it'd just get ridiculous. One thing that on the EverQuest issue is on EverQuest, if your character wants to learn a spell that teaches them how to fly or something, if the program says that you can't do it, you can't do it. And you know, I don't care if, you know, God himself comes down and says, "Hey, you know, your character can fly." You can't fly because the interface won't let you. In New Bremen, because it's text based, if a storyteller or even other players agree that you can fly, you know, your character, within the limits of your human ability to describe your ability to fly, we won't go into the obtenebration flying methods. Anyway, you can fly, or you can or whatever. I mean, you are limited in your role play ability by your ability as a human being to describe an interesting story, an interesting way of interacting. And to me, that for those people who are very visually oriented, EverQuest is perhaps, you know, admittedly, if you're very visually oriented, EverQuest may be your superior for you. But if you are looking for a story with very few limits, I feel that a text-based atmosphere at this point is still actually superior.
Okay, I just want to point out a comment that was made by Mr. Smiley Face.
This gentleman needs a time.
Miss. I think that the GMs do the best job they can with the players and venue that they have. But I think that in all the online games I've played, I really enjoyed New Bremen the most because of its moderation. It really works for me, and there's been times when I've quit for some reason or another, but I always come back to New Bremen for the quality of gaming available. What does that say about...
That costs us $25.
what does that say about our ability to bribe players?
Sorry, it was 25 experience points. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And the equipment.
Only costing you a trip from Dallas to Monroe, I promise you.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay.
Is that me?
But what does that seem to tell you guys about this? And we'll answer that in a second. You had a question?
This is kind of a dumb newbie question, but I'm one of the three people who has, in fact, never played the game. Can you give a brief thumbnail sketch of how it all – not how it works technically, but how you reconcile these five or six different games in the same city? Are there 1500 supernatural creatures in one city? Because that just makes my head reel right there.
Actually, there are 5,000 supernatural creatures in a city that I've very comically said is about the size of Jupiter.
No, actually, seriously, New Bremen is kind of a metropolis aspect. It's a fictional city. We relax the ratios from the typical World of Darkness atmosphere a little bit. Obviously, it's overpopulated. But on the same token, the overpopulation is very easily referenced in the fact that player characters spend an awful lot of time trying to kill each other, which represents their overpopulation. ideally, if we ever could actually freeze frame the game, like freeze frame it with no new players, and the population, if it was ever freeze framed after a bunch of people killed each other, it would probably be at a much more reasonable stage. But you have players though who have anywhere from 20, 30, 40 characters. 75. You have single players who literally have absolutely ridiculous numbers of characters. You have your typical player. Your typical player, on the average, is running about three or four characters. That really is about your average. You have a few people who play one or two, but your typical player is running about three or four characters.
Or then you have your non-typical storyteller, me, who has zero player characters on this chat.
Then you have Sam, who works like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 360, and like somehow still manages to log on.
That's only during Christmas, Valentine's Day, and Mother's Day. Thank you. Okay, you had a question?
And Easter, yes. And Thanksgiving.
Well, like, I see, like, in this format, when you have characters, they have to be, like, scientifically explained realistically.
Yes, sir.
According to abilities and looks and everything?
We have character sheets online, okay? And they're set up. I don't know if you've ever played any of the White Wolf Storyteller. Yeah, Lenny is going to show a character sheet right now. Just show the Dragon Con one. It doesn't matter. Or whoever you know that you can just show a sheet. But they're set up in the same way. They have all the physical, mental, and social attributes.
This is with a joke pull down character sheet, of course.
Okay, this is not how it looks when you create it, but when you create it, they have pull-down menus for each thing, and you have to create it as per...
Oh, look, now we've...
Oh, my God, an intelligence of one!
We have his stats, now we can kill him.
I think I'll be taking a brief break now.
But as you can see, it separates into talents, skills,
I'm sorry.
Knowledge.
This is a too realistic character sheet.
Dragon has to have any extra attributes.
Notice the resource is zero. That means I'm open to bribes.
Yeah, well, the World of Darkness that we're using here doesn't have dragons or anything else like that. The main characters are from the main World of Darkness storyteller games, which are Vampire the Masquerade, Werewolf the Apocalypse, Mage the Ascension, that sort of stuff. It's set in a modern-day gothic punk world, trademark.
Yeah. Are you familiar with White Wolf games in and of themselves, though? Okay, if you're not familiar with them, you probably really would do best to get an introduction to them probably through one of our books. But if you already are familiar with them, I mean, seriously, the books are going to explain it much better than I can do in like a couple of minutes. But if you have already read the books, literally the exact sort of like advice that they give you in there on how to like answer the 20 questions, decide like what your character is capable of, where he came from or she came from, what her background is, what his background is. that's really what we're looking for when we approve a character. When you first log on to the game, you have a red X next to your name, which basically tells the storytellers and the other players your character has not been approved for play.
Or you're dead.
Or you're dead. But generally, it means that you have not been approved for play. And when you first log on, you're just waiting for a storyteller to look over your character and say, okay, this is approved. Storytellers, when they look at your character, in general, they're going to look over your attributes, your skills, and so forth, and they're going to decide if that looks like a reasonable character. Unfortunately, due to the number of people that we actually approve, we may not ask you for a detailed background. That's kind of up to you to actually maintain once you actually log in. But if we look at your character and you have skills that are just ridiculous, if you have a melee skill of 4, I mean, if your character is an expert in if your character is an expert sniper, we're gonna want to know why you're an expert sniper. And if you can't answer the question, we're probably not going to approve the character.
Why you're an 8-year-old.
The same also goes for experience requests.
If your character has a 5 appearance, which means that Helen of Troy actually looks upon you with envy, you know, we're going to want to know why. If your character has a manipulation of 5, which means you're a George Bush Jr., you know, we want to know why, you know, like
what uncounted votes?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing political about this. Anyway,
there's on these character sheets. There's a little area called concept that I know that my lord and master over there. Actually, I was pointing to that one, but I guess I go to you too.
Concept's been on there all along, and many times I pull up characters, and their concept is, "I'm this guy,"
or
"I'm this guy," or "I get along with people." I'm like, that's not a concept. Concept. What are you? How? If you had to describe yourself in real life in like 2 or 3 words, how would you describe yourself? You know, that's a concept. You know.
Hi, I'm a fat geek who just shaved his beard off. There you go. See, you know, I set it up. I play role-playing games.
A concept is like, what are you? If you had to describe yourself, what are you? And like, oftentimes we get concepts that are, you know, I'm this guy. It's like, that's not a concept, dude.
Concept is more like, I'm, you know, a short concept would be student, art student, medical student. You know, something, it can be as simple as that. Or, you know, the concept line has a little bit of room. People could put...
drug addict who works for White Wolf.
Alcoholic cab driver, I mean...
I plead the 5th.
Oh, that would be half the staff. I'm sorry.
Okay. Kind of a follow-up question to my last one. From talking with White Wolf people over the years, I've noticed that the tabletop game lines are kind of built to not be compatible with each other's rules-wise. For example, the way Changeling – if you took a Changeling and then sent a typical Neonate Bruja against him, it would be a blender. How do you resolve that in New Bremen?
Okay, one –
he has just brought up the ultimate issue.
That is actually one of the huge issues.
There is
a
technical answer to that.
White Wolf has never, ever operated under the assumption that our games are necessarily designed to be a big, giant blender. We believe that each game should have its own feeling. It should have its own flavor, its own text. It should have...
And Ethan Skemp still believes that his werewolves should be able to do whatever they want.
As Justin put it, if we actually were to mix all the games together, we would have a flavorless gray gruel that just, you know, would have no taste to it. Each game has its own feeling. Each developer tries to portray their own sort of ideals, their own sort of like again flavor to the game and so forth. And so in the chat, when we decide we're going to represent all of these. We've had to make a lot of decisions in a lot of cases without the developer's help. Luckily, we have one developer, Jess here, who has given us a number of pointers. Sometimes. Jess.
Yeah, that would be me, and I just winged it.
I think Jess is. You've written for virtually every line, haven't you? Jess has written for virtually every line, which does not make him a developer for every line. But online, where Justin and Ethan really don't log on anyway, you know, we can get away with saying, well, Jess said... you probably had a more specific question, though. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that was generally... for example, as long as Jess is here...
busted!
I said that because specifically with regard to, first of all, are there mages in the game?
Yes, we have.
There are mages in the game. I actually have every. I actually.
Yep. Yeah, there's a virtual add up in Joshua Golden right there.
I would like
virtual,
to note that I actually addict? Have a further rule that even Jess is actually kind of respecting me on this, and that is that I pretty much have told most of the developers, you know, just like I don't come in and tell, you what to put in your vampire books, you know. I'm going to ask you for advice on the chat, but when it comes down to it, it's going to be my decision. You know,
when it comes down to it, the main thing that we're going to look for when we implement any rule is game balance.
Yes, in the chat, not game balance in tabletop.
But my question pertaining to that is, well, if it's a player-driven environment, how do you handle some of the special complications that you get with Mage involving the mage turning the
case by case? Do you have a specific example?
Well, the stereotypical example is the mage turns the vampire into a lawn furniture.
First of all, chances are in New Bremen he doesn't have the spheres to do that.
Yeah. See, or the rote. And that's massively vulgar.
Everyone starts on New Bremen. When you come in, each book has a suggested starting level for the character, and that's what we keep people at when they start.
I mean, is there someone out there who is sort of watching over this saying, no, no, you can't do that because for the reasons you just said?
Yes, exactly.
That would be us. We actually we can't see right now, but I don't know if there's any green people in here. The moderators, okay, the moderators are in blue. That means they're visible to all the players. Okay, moderators can also come in invisible, which is green, and the players will not see their name in the room listing. Their players will not see the name anywhere until they post.
Now here's a secret, though. If you're actually in one of the rooms, and like the room number says it has four people in it, and you only see three people, that means there's a guy.
You know what, though? It doesn't do that anymore, because when I'm in a room by myself, invisible, waiting for my assistant or somebody like
that. Dude, I don't want to know what you're doing in your room's invisible by yourself.
Damn! But, you know, but to the other players on the chat, it says zero.
Okay,
so that has fixed itself.
Players always have the option of saying, okay, let's pause the scene and get a storyteller or an assistant storyteller to come in and make a ruling. And that's always an option. And if the previous people say, no, we don't want to do that, then, you know, that's fine. But one of the rules is you may freeze a scene and then get a storyteller to moderate it. So
the only way to have permanent changes show up on your character record is for a storyteller to make those. So if a mage says, I use my magic and turn your vampire into a soap bubble, and he refuses to get a storyteller to oversee this, no storyteller is making those changes to your character record, and it effectively has no impact on your character.
When the soap bubble pops, you turn back into your own character.
Unless you personally just say, hey, I'm not playing the character anymore. I mean, the character sheet itself can only be modified by a storyteller. So as Jess said, if a storyteller does not change it and you decide you're just not going to abide by it, the change isn't going to take a place.
Well, a lot of times the players, they focus on story first. The rule, like it says,
we hope.
You know, one of the things it says in the White Wolf books is if you don't like the rules, throw them out the window. Unfortunately for a chat, that doesn't work, but a lot of people, when they're running a scene or they're running a story, they let people bend and flex them a little bit, which is really good because you have people like they go to one scene was there was a player on the dance floor and her hair was changing color.
Was she bending and flexing?
No, she was changing. Her hair was changing color with the light because of magic. Now most people would smacked it and said that can't happen. Paradox, you're going to have trouble. But they let it happen because it fit the mood, it fit the scene, it fit the situation, and the players just all agreed. They said, yeah, that's fine. You know. It's flexible, and a lot of the players are really good about that.
Talk to mates here in a second.
You'd have to have a technical explanation as to how light would change your hair color, literally.
It depends on the game that you're using. It could be a vampire with vicissitude just changing the color of the hair. It could be a mage just changing the color of the hair, vulgarly.
That's not a matter for the chat rules themselves. It's a matter for the actual game rules that you're personally playing.
There is a hair.
And since we have like six or seven games running concurrently.
Yeah. Or you could just have hair like mine that like under a certain light it looks red, under a different light
it looks
brown.
I don't know. So I do actually want to kind of move on.
How long do we actually have total?
We have like another 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
It's
hours. Are we actually losing the room, or
I don't know, but
I think we're the last event.
One thing I don't want us to leave without getting you can continue on, but after we're done, whenever we're into flex time, we actually.
Right, I understand. So we'll try to we'll make this less than a half hour or something.
Okay.
All
I meant was after we're done, for those of you who actually play in the chat or who have, you know, opinions and so forth about the chat, not that I necessarily want to get reamed here, but believe it or not, we really do like to hear constructive ideas, constructive criticism, and I certainly, whenever we're done with the rest of it, would like to hear anything you have to say about the chat.
Sure, come on up, you know.
There's a big difference between getting an email that says, hey, F you, and, you know, your chat sucks, I'm leaving, I'm never going to play. And, you know, and a lot of times people say, well, this is a problem, here's a suggestion on how to fix it. And while we may not use every suggestion we get, a lot of times they evolve into different things, and that helps a lot.
Lenny?
You know, going back to that whole F you, dickhead issue, you know, a lot of people... Yes, I said it. Whatever. A lot of people don't make me beat you later.
Does that cost extra?
Yes.
Can we just move on? Hurry.
Or
you don't get the bed.
You know, the majority of our players do act with maturity, and they do take accountability for their actions. But there are the small percentage out there, well, not really small, a moderate percentage out there who are just like, well, you're just a name person out there. You don't exist to me, and I'll do whatever I want. And, you know, unfortunately, that does happen.
So let me go, and then
I get to go.
Let Lenny go. He's been waiting about 5 minutes here.
He's been waiting to go for a while. He's starting to, like, shift his legs and stuff.
Okay. One of the big things is the fact that a lot of our players are actually... Is my microphone warm?
Check.
Yeah. A lot of our players are decent enough to report when somebody else is doing something wrong. A lot of them won't take it. That's a lot of the reason that the chat actually works, the fact that we don't have to be everywhere at once, because our players will actually tell us what's going on.
Right.
Okay.
It's a wonderful thing.
All right. I just want to... Let's see what this one is. Meg is saying, I think that the online gaming thing is so popular because, like myself, there's a lack of much tabletop role-playing that goes on here. I could get into a D&D group or something, but that it's not about hack and slash. I like the fact that I can actually role-play, emphasis on that, with a diverse group of people, and the fact that the group changes constantly, both with new players coming in and out and the character development that this follows. It's sort of a, quote, real-time, end quote, role-playing. There isn't any downtime, as we know it, in tabletop in a 24/7 day-a-week venue. This lets you explore parts of your character that you couldn't before, daily life, that sort of thing. It's different, but it's good. Okay, that's another thing that can be brought up. There's no real technical downtime. I'm sure most of you have played tabletop or LARP before, correct? No matter what game it is. Whenever it's in between stories or adventures or whatever, that's considered downtime for your character. That's when your character spends his experience points. That's when he actually finishes training for his new level, whatever. In New Bremen, that doesn't happen. The only real downtime is when you're not online. Okay?
And that's not really downtime because other guys are still playing.
Yeah. But
and they might be plotting your death.
We do want to let the EFF staff get to sleep tonight, so we're going to move on. Talking to some of you who are players and everything else, what do you think is something that could really help between player and moderator relations?
Communication. Sometimes you'll hear from one storyteller one thing and another thing from another, and there is a lack of communication between them.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, to a certain extent, of course, that's potentially due to lack of communication between those two storytellers.
Something I've been trying to work on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, storytellers, you know, we all read each other's mind and know what each other are thinking all the time. No, seriously, let him go on, though. I'm serious.
Thanks, Caesar.
That's it? Okay.
I have something just as a point on this. Lack of communication. We had a recent game semi-reset of sorts, if you played on here, that happened in the Changeling venue. Now,
all the Changelings caught a chimerical plague. If they survived it, they survived it. If they didn't, they became mortals. That's not unfortunately, a lot of bad players retired their characters because they didn't want to be mortals.
Yes, however, it was a lot of it was caused from a lot of lack of communication going on, and it Changeling, in my opinion, was the perfect size venue for this to be very apparent. The game is just small enough that, you know, there are more people, they're more closely knit, we notice it more, but it's just large enough that it makes a difference. And this is becoming prevalent in other games, in my feeling. You can watch it happen bit by bit. And it's just now becoming obvious in Werewolf and other games because they're that much bigger. And it takes a while for it to sort of set in because of the numbers.
Oh, yeah, that it's certainly becoming apparent in the Werewolf game.
Okay. Obviously, communication. Now, but what I really mean is relations. A lot of people, both storytellers and players, have an us versus them attitude, if not towards each and every moderator or player, at least towards some. Conrad himself has received death threats through email about the chat. Okay?
Now, I told them if they want to come down, I would bury them in the yard, but, you know.
But that doesn't promote good communication between the players and the moderators. All this really promotes is, you know, fuck you. I don't feel like dealing with you. You're gone. You know, I care, okay? I'm 27 years old. I can curse if I want to. But one of the things that that it brings up is, how can players and storytellers actually communicate with each other better? Obviously, keeping everyone's tempers in check. Okay? A lot of times, you know, and Conrad is more than guilty of this himself. He'll let his temper get the better of him in a lot of situations. But then again, a lot of players goad him or Andrea or Lenny or Chris or Ren or myself. They try to goad me into it. I just sort of, like, really make them look stupid.
I openly admit I have a horrible temper sometimes, but something to try to remember if you're interacting with me is that I may literally have had some guy just come tell me that my mother was in his bed last night and, you know, he did unspeakable things to her. And, you know, just maybe my temper won't be all there and I apologize, if you approach me and say, hey, this is the problem, instead of coming and saying, hey, you suck, you blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we won't go there.
One of the biggest
Storytellers, all of us, are way more likely to listen if you're like, this is happening instead of your chat sucks because or...
If you're rational. If the players
rational. But in general, it's still better to come and say, this is what's happening instead of such and such sucks or blah, and because of this. Like, start off with what's happening. Start off with, you know, the actual situation.
Another thing to remember is the biggest thing, human beings communicate visually more than anything else. We see each other, and we see body language, and we hear a tone of voice.
I deny all knowledge of this.
There will be screenshots of this, and we will have an audio file.
The biggest thing...
I'm a clone.
Like Chris said, the biggest thing is humans are visually based. You know, eye contact, body movement, body language. The other big thing that we need to remember is the players are human. We're human. We all have bad days. We all have our good days.
Players are human?
Yeah.
Yes, Conrad. They're not just a brain in the jar like you.
Right. There is...
Meanwhile, the storytellers are actually a part of an AI.
But the biggest thing to remember is there are human beings with real emotions behind the screen. If you can't remember that, then you're going to have problems communicating no matter what you do. Because, yeah, like Chris said, there is no tone of voice online.
All right. But yes, treating each other with mutual respect is obviously going to improve relations between the moderators and the players. Okay? 9 out of 10 times, people let their temper get the better of them, and they start cursing at you and everything else like that. And at that point, you're just like, fine, I'm not even going to bother listening to you. But it would be the same thing that if a moderator were to do it to the players, just start spouting off, they're not going to bother listening. So why should it be the other way around? You know what I mean?
If you have a friend and one of us busts him for cheating, the worst thing you can possibly do is say, I know he didn't cheat. if you didn't see it happen, you don't know anything. Nothing. If you didn't see it with your own eyes, you don't know what you're talking about. We can be in there invisibly in any room in the chat, and we watch people do the absolute dumbest things. The thing is, we're aware that they're like 1% or even less of the chat, but like 1% of the people are 99% of the problems. And if you stand up for them and defend them, you're just helping them make problems. And like, seriously, like, I mean, I know you don't see these people's face, you don't see these people face to face, but like when you defend somebody and you don't know what you're talking about, you become part of the problem, and you look really dumb. If you like don't even know what you're talking about, you're like, hey, so and so never would do that. What do you mean never would do that? Are you at their house? Did you watch them type everything they've ever typed?
Well, a big part on that too is a way we can limit the problems is players keeping checks on each other. I know a lot of the problem players have gotten caught by other players taking screenshots and then giving them to the STs, and then they'll deal with it.
Self-policing.
Yeah.
Okay, self-policing works very well in some venues.
It's not perfect because I've had people try and fake screenshots and things like that, but it's pretty good because there's a difference when, you know, 20 people in a room saw someone do something and one person is one-on-one saying, this is what happened.
So.
One of the other advantages of the moderation system is that you can just get rid of assholes. I mean, if someone comes on and they're spouting vitriol, making death threats, lawsuits, and slander campaigns, generating entire web pages designed to discredit a storyteller or whatnot, you could just say, congratulations, you've earned a one-way ticket out. These people seem to think that because this is offered as a free service, the storytellers have a responsibility to please them specifically, which isn't the case. Some people don't know how to play nice. You see this in other online environments as well, like Ultima Online and so on. Yeah, and in tabletop, you kick those people out of your games. In games like Ultima Online, they ran into this problem for a year and a half with player killers who were not interested in generating a community, but were interested solely in having their fun by ruining other people's fun. And they eventually split their game off so that those people had a completely separate game. In
terms of the player killer server.
And, in terms basically. Of New Bremen, we just don't tolerate players who aren't there to generate a community experience. And it specifically lays out on New Bremen the terms that say, this is a community experience. Bad things may happen to your character that aren't under your control. Conversely, you're here to tell a communal story. You're part of it. You're not the center. If you don't agree with that, don't play here because you won't get what you want, and don't complain about not getting it.
You see the same problem in convention LARPs all the time. People come and they just like they make characters or they pick a character just so they can ruin other people's fun.
Well, you know, and that's just something you're going to have all the time. But one thing New Bremen does have is we have, I don't know if anybody actually reads it anymore, but we have a terms of service agreement in the front that you can read. Most people just scroll right to the bottom and hit connect now. They don't even bother to read it.
And we have Gina.
Yes,
and Gina will, you know, all
and
our
we
stuff.
Have you we have people, you know, we have Gina, who's a friend of Conrad's, who's helped him with stuff for years, apparently, with the HTML and everything else like
She's
that.
She's been with White Wolf longer than I have, even though she never has gotten a paycheck.
Okay. This woman, all we have to do is storytellers to say, look, we want this added to the page. And within 2 or 3 days, she's got it up, running exactly the way we wanted it. And all it is, you know, and they're just rules.
And we constantly tell players to keep checking back on these pages because they're constantly updated.
Right. They do change often.
And this is going to sound mean, but with... When we put the information up, once it's up, it's the player's responsibility to read it. It's their responsibility to learn and to constantly check and see what's updated and see what changes and see what they need to know. And, you know,
right. It's not our responsibility to say, go check this. It's the player's responsibility to check it themselves. I'm going to just do Ben and then Conrad, and then I want to move on to something else, which I think is a very important topic that a lot of us have to do.
Well, I know I'm keeping updated on things like that. It's posted real quick. There's a number of, like, the Yahoo groups that it's just an ungodly amount. That, you know, yeah. Stuff are posted.
We have
announcements go up on there. You know, people just tend to ignore it and it's like, oh, I didn't know this. But, you know, y'all can point out real quick.
Ignorance is no excuse.
There it is.
And the thing that we mentioned was we have the one Yahoo group that has 1,392 email addresses on it.
It's up to 1,400 and something now.
Okay. Yeah. But that still is not everyone on the chat. And the problem that brings about is if the players aren't going to join the announcement e-group that says this has changed, you know, this is only used for very important announcements, so they're not going to get emails from it every day.
Yeah.
We send out maybe two a month at the most.
And even if they want, they can set it to digest mode so they can get one
yeah.
day.
It'll just, you know, it's not our responsibility to force them to join it. We have it listed on the very login page, not the login page, but everything else. It says there's a link that says mail groups to join.
Yeah.
Just click it. There you go.
Problem players usually, the ones that are the most problem, like Conrad said, that 1%, they don't read the rules, they don't read anything, they just make a character, go in and do what they want. And it's a matter of, we can talk until we're blue in the face, but they're still never going to listen to us. So mm-hmm. the good players do take responsibility to find out what the current rules, restrictions, regulations, and what's going on in the city are.
Okay. Conrad?
Has anyone here actually checked out, there are a few of these out on the internet, and this is more of a futuristic type thing as opposed to a current thing. As a company, we've looked at some of these. Has anybody here actually checked out any of the three-dimensional chats? Literally, have you checked out three-dimensional?
Yeah.
What was your experience in that?
I checked out some of the earlier ones. This past year mainly. I mean, it kind of has like the EverQuest feel, but it's with a view.
Where you just had an icon and you could talk.
It was an icon walking around and talking, but the basic interface was sort of like New Bremen, where it wasn't. Oh, yeah. This runs up and you have to kill it. It's, actually interacting.
We've been
it.
Searching for better versions of that, and because, ideally, that's where we want to go. The thing about them is that they most of those actually require a lot more proprietary software than New Bremen, where you can just log in regardless of where you are.
I know the one I used, it was like...
You have to download it.
It's like $3 for the license for it for like a year, but still you have to download it and then use that.
Has anybody found one? I mean, not that I'm trying to get big giant secrets here, but has anybody found one that's not proprietary, that's not you don't permanently have to make a permanent download for your system?
They tried that a few years back with VRML.
Yeah.
And, well, to be honest, no one really...
They
didn't code for it, so
But we have more people in our Java chat than any of the Java chats do either.
Right.
So, like,
It's expanded in recent years, but... The reason VRML. Yeah. The reason it failed before is because no one had a video card that could actually render it.
Okay.
Now, that's the basis of
now,
all...
Now, the version you're talking about could, like... If, say, you were at a university computer and you weren't actually allowed to permanently download any programs, could you run that?
It would load pretty much the same way a Java applet would load. As a matter of fact, you could probably code a Java applet.
Do you happen to have, like, one of the modern, like, outlets for that? I mean, seriously, if anybody wants to email me links like this, we're really looking for information like this.
Hit Google.
ConradMTV.com.
Again, anybody who has any kind of, like, including you, Chris, if anybody has things like this is the type of thing that, like... We're not trying to sit statically on, like, we have a really great chat here, but we're not trying to just sit on it and go, oh, we're the best. You know, like, we really want to move on. We want to find even better things. Another idea that some of the IBM people that we talked to at Gen Con, like, actual IBM employees were talking to us, was about more, like, video conferencing style role playing, which we don't think we're really ready for that yet, but we are looking for better stuff. So if anybody has, you said VRNL, If you have links to like a version of that we could use that does not require the individual user to download a permanent application, we really are looking for functions like that to possibly expand into the future.
Okay. Now, I want to bring up my last topic here. So,
I'll talk to you later.
Huh?
I don't know how to write that. Hey, I don't care if like, everybody here reads.
Yeah, that's why I would just want to bring this up. Most of you have played New Bremen. Okay? No, not really. I'm lying. But how many of you have actually taken a break from New Bremen? A good portion of you. Okay? I'm really getting to the
strong... Do drunken stupors count?
Huh?
Do drunken stupors count?
Then no. Then you're in there every night. But one of the things that I'm finding is that you see a lot of people who get really attached to their characters, who get really too drawn in. They can't handle the fact that something happens that kills the character. And they go off and they bitch and they moan and they cry. But one of the things that I think is a cause of that is the fact that not a lot of our players do take off. A lot of our players are on there every single day. for a couple hours a day. And some of our storytellers are also on there every single day for at least an hour a day. And what that comes down to is eventual burnout. And I'd really like to just advise that people try to take a break every couple months. You know, even if it's just for a week or two, you know, you only have to log in one time in a 30-day period to not lose the character. If you take the break, you can separate yourself from, you know, everything around it and continue on with the rest of your life without worrying about New Bremen.
If you are married or you have a girlfriend and she says, hey, turn off the computer, turn off the fucking computer.
Yes.
I'm not bullshitting you. I'm telling you, it may save your relationship. It may save your marriage.
He's correct. I know a girl who broke up with
her boyfriend. Just fucking turn off the computer. You know, in fact, the problem is she shouldn't have to say that. You know, like, you should just think about that every once in a while. But anyway, seriously.
Yeah, I know a girl who actually broke up with her boyfriend because he felt like playing the PlayStation 2 instead.
If your computer has a name and you don't remember your girlfriend's name, there's a problem.
Okay, we're going to just take this last comment, then we're going to have to let everyone get to bed.
It could seriously affect your computer's health.
Or you might find yourself to a pair of shears in the middle of the night, but anyway.
Okay, we're going to let the folks from the Electronic Frontier Forums get to bed. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. I want to thank everyone for the comments they've made. We're going to be around, so if anyone has any suggestions, and not suggestions like throw ourselves off the buildings, because we've done that before and it doesn't work.
I bounced.
I think they're leaving the table here. We can just sit.
My email is on the front page of White Wolf's website, so literally, like, if you want to send me hate mail, I'm just going to, like, throw it away in, like, the rest of it. But if you want to send me, like, a serious suggestion, I mean, seriously, send me a link, send me information, whatever. I really do listen to stuff if it doesn't start with "you suck" or "they suck."
Okay.
And now, if it starts with "she sucks," I might listen.
Online gaming is it really is the future of role playing, because you get to a point in when you go to work, you work, you know, 8 hours a day, you come home, you have so much to do, and then when you're done, you want to relax. You've only got a couple hours. Your friends live far away. You can't get together as often. There's so many factors that just sit down at the computer and play for an hour every other day or whatever. It makes a big difference. It helps keep people sane. I watch so many people that go buggy because they can't role play, and then they play online, and that helps. And, you know, if there's ways we can improve this and make it better, please do let us know.
Yeah.
My ex-wife got, like, my gaming group on our divorce decree, so...
So, all right. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming out. Like I said, we're going to be around. If you guys have any other questions or comments, you can just ask us. It just won't end up on this audio file, and we're going to let these folks get to bed. All right? Thank you.
Before we get turned off, I would like to thank all of the players. I mean, we definitely couldn't do this without you, and I'm sure that the majority of the team feels the same way, that we can't do this without you.
Screw the players. I'm in this for me.
Well... We could, but there would just be like 30 storytellers sitting around going,
I do it for free books. What are you talking about?
So, all right, folks. Good night. Thank you.
$1 an hour.
Thank you. And I really do want emails. I'm serious.
Everybody give Sam a big hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.